Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know the high cost of getting legal representation. So what do those do without the means to pay for it? Well, fortunately, there's an organisation like Justice Net South Australia who can help you with that. They have a program called Pro Bono Connect that assists individuals and not-for-profit organisations who cannot afford a lawyer to access legal services on a pro bono, and that's free, basis. Very fortunate today to be joined by Rebecca Plummer, who's CEO of Justice Net South Australia. Welcome, Rebecca.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kerry.
Pleasure. This is an amazing service and, of course, so important to our community centres because they constantly have people coming to their door who can't afford legal representation but need it. Tell me how the organisation came about.
So essentially in 2008, there was sort of a wave across Australia of seeing that despite a government investment in legal assistance through things like legal aid and community legal centres and Aboriginal legal centres, there was still a gap. So people who were either not eligible for legal aid or those funded services, but still couldn't afford legal assistance. And so this is when pro bono clearinghouses really came to the fore, with private lawyers who came together and said, we can help with this. We've got the skills to help here. What can we do? So JusticeNet was one of those that was formed in that network around Australia, and we've been operating in this space ever since.
Well, it's an amazing service, and I don't think that people just realise the extent of those services. I mean, when I was looking through your list, it is quite extensive. You help with evictions, homelessness, legal disputes around wills, estates. Perhaps you can walk us through the wide umbrella of services you've got, Rebecca.
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, I think it's helpful to start from the legal assistance hierarchy. So ordinarily, the first port of call for legal assistance is legal aid. That's the sort of statutory-based legal assistance in the state. And then you have ALRM also for people that are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander background. And then you have our community legal centres. And given the funding constraints on these services, really they have to focus on things like crime, family law, those sorts of areas. And they do some general civil matters or some assistance with particular areas of mental health, but it's impossible to cover every single area. So really we exist to cover those gaps. And so the services that we run have been in spaces where we know that there are a gap. So you've mentioned Pro Bono Connect. That is our flagship service. That's what it all sort of started off being. And essentially we take any matter there where you haven't been able to find any sort of legal assistance anywhere else and you can't afford a lawyer. But we also have specialist services. So for example, the Federal Court Self-Representation Service, which is if you're facing the federal court and you don't have a lawyer, which is a pretty scary time. And these might be matters like migration or bankruptcy or anything like that. Or the homeless legal aspect, which is our program that's the newest program, although it's now been running for 5 years. And that works out of Hutt Street Centre, Baptist Care, SACAT and Catherine House. And that essentially is focused specifically on homelessness or risk of homelessness. So we also then thirdly sort of have a program in refugees and asylum seekers. So working in spaces where we know that there's a gap and we try to do what we can. But we also have agile programs that we sort of pick up as quickly as we can. So for example, during the fall of Kabul, we did an Afghan clinic as well, and we try to see what we can do to fill those gaps.
So it's a very diverse set of services that you provide there, Rebecca.
That's right.
From our community centre's perspective is they have so many different people coming to their door, and some of the points you've mentioned, Rebecca, about homelessness, I even think about facing eviction, negotiating leases, we've got cost of living issues where people aren't able to afford their rent as they could, they're looking at rent increases. So these are things that are right at community centre doors, but also for a lot of people who are new migrants, they often come for English as second language.
That's right.
That community centre link is very important. Where do you see that community centres can A, find services for their clients, but how can they also promote your services better through their community networks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a general understanding of the legal assistance sort of network and hierarchy and how it works is crucial. And it's something that we don't, you know, really do enough of is understanding who are those players in the free space. So essentially what community legal centres can definitely do is reach out to our services by all means and try and see if they can find a service. We have available on our website the opportunity to book an appointment with our homeless legal services. So you can do that directly. If you've got a client sitting with you, you can sit with them and say, great, when's the time that suits you, and book them straight in. If they are facing anything in the federal court, then they'll normally come to us, you know, because the registry will send them to us. And then for Pro Bono Connect, it's really helpful if community legal centres actually sit down with the person who needs assistance and help them fill out that form. That greatly assists us. So essentially as much detail as they can in regards to where they've been already, why they haven't been able to get assistance, and why a pro bono lawyer or essentially a private lawyer doing work free in their own time is what they need.
Is it all apply online, Rebecca? Or you can also, oh, I see you can download it, because a lot of people don't have that digital literacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about eligibility guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So generally, it's important in the pro bono space that we're not interfering with the natural economics of the legal assistance sector. And that's important because if you take, for example, that government funds a certain amount of legal assistance every year, if we were to step in and provide free or pro bono services in a space that's already funded, we interfere with those numbers. So, for example, there might be, say, a discrete patch of funding for veterans. And say if we start offering pro bono opportunities for veterans, then that's free work that's done that those services then can't report back to government and actually say, actually, there's a need here. But it's also because the definition of pro bono work means that you have to be able to be providing assistance to someone that isn't eligible for free assistance elsewhere.
Ah.
So it doesn't count as pro bono work, as we often say, helping out the tennis club or doing something that might be otherwise funded. That's not pro bono. So we need to create meaningful and genuine pro bono opportunities so that we enhance the sector. And then because we also watch for patterns, because we don't want gaps to exist long term. And so if we see a pattern and we say, okay, actually there's a need here, we can communicate that back to the stakeholders, to other service providers, to government, to funders, and to say, hey, look, we're actually seeing a growth here. This could be something that you might want to fund discreetly for another service to do. So those sorts of eligibility are really important in regards to the services that you've inquired with. But also we have a means test. So, you know, it is by far and away the case now that almost every single person that's trying to access our service is living well below the poverty line. It is, you know, in a situation in which I think the minimum wage now is approximately in the sort of $40,000 range. But we now know that the Henderson poverty line has come out this year at $72,000 per year. So below that margin, you're really living in relative poverty. So that means you can't really live outside of your basic necessity. And that's in a house of two adults and two children. And we know that government benefits are around $30,000 a year. So, you know, the situation in regards to means, yes, we have a means test. Very rarely is anyone seeking our assistance who's over it. But if you were someone who had the capacity to pay, then that would be another reason to be ineligible. But we do now know that the missing middle, as it used to be, is the missing majority, meaning that most people in Australia that need legal assistance can't afford it. And we're moving closer and closer towards that being a bigger number.
And there's no easy solution out of that, because you're already asking lawyers who do their legal work for a living to give up some of their time to do this pro bono work. That's where it actually comes from.
Mm.
Now, what about criminal law matters? Is that all under the federal court? But there would be state court as
well? Yeah, there'd be state courts mainly in that space. And generally speaking, as the legal assistance, sort of legal aid, ALRM, the community legal centres, they cover most of the criminal work. There is sort of a focus particularly on people who are facing terms of imprisonment. So very rarely do we find that things trickle through to us in the criminal space. That's not necessarily the case. And more of our work is in that civil space. One of our other eligibility criteria is that it's in the public interest. And so generally we're taking on larger sort of, you know, public interest matters around discrimination might be the case, or, you know, a marginalised group. And we sort of go, there's a pattern here. There's something arising. This looks like an area where we should get some private lawyers involved. This could be a space that we need some advocacy.
I'm talking to Rebecca Plummer, who's CEO and Principal Solicitor of JusticeNet South Australia today, about pro bono legal services, which is a very necessary service and a very welcome one. Rebecca, how much has cost of living impacted on the people that you're seeing and indeed your ability to provide services?
Yeah, hugely, Kerry. I think even today alone, we were pretty inundated with phone calls. I just think what we're seeing more and more is a huge number of people that are needing our homeless legal service. Like I said, we very rarely now have anybody who's over our means test. And we're just seeing a really high increase of people that then have associated social issues in regards to, you know, heightened mental states or, you know, other factors where we need to sort of do wraparounds with community services, which is, again, why the community centres are a really helpful point for us to be making sure that there's someone else engaged that can help with those services that we can't.
That's a really interesting point, Rebecca, because so often our centres do see people with these more complex mental health issues, and trying to help them is really difficult.
Yeah.
So for you, just having to deal with a limited amount of time and your lawyers, they can't really go outside of that. To have someone to say, go back to your community centre and see what services they have and how they can help.
Absolutely. And we often sort of say, you know, when somebody's in that state, look, we can help with the legal stuff, but your health is the priority. And that's for a number of reasons. You know, from a very technical legal perspective, that's because capacity is an issue when you're taking instructions. You need to make sure that somebody has sufficient capacity to give legal instructions, but also because health is always a priority over legal. And so we generally try to work with services and make sure that those supports are in place and that there's an advocate or somebody that's helping at the community basis. And then once all those things are lined up, we can go, great, let's get you an awesome lawyer.
Which you no doubt have on your list there, Rebecca. And those lawyers do more than just provide pro bono legal service. They also walk for justice.
They do.
Tell us about your walking towards justice.
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, JusticeNet is largely funded by members and donations, including things like our homeless legal donor circle. And our biggest fundraiser of the year is the Walk for Justice. And it is, I think it's become much beloved event. There's about 500 lawyers who wake up very early at about 7 o'clock on the 21st.
And they don't get paid for this, people out there. Just remember, if you're thinking disparagingly of lawyers, they do have a heart.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it's cold in May, early in the morning. So essentially, the Walk for Justice has now been running for 16 years and it's grown from strength to strength. It's actually on National Pro Bono Day. So there's a Walk for Justice held in almost every capital city in Australia, and it's generally hosted by the Pro Bono Clearinghouse, which is sort of the JusticeNet equivalent. So we are the host of South Australia's Walk for Justice, and we're very thrilled because we're getting pretty close to taking on WA, who have led the charge of having the biggest Walk for Justice for years.
We do so love that. We don't have all their minerals, but look what we can do.
That's right. I know. We're getting very close. So this year we might be able to top them. So essentially we walk from Adelaide Oval along the River Torrens to the Adelaide Zoo. So it's nothing particularly strenuous. Everyone's back at work by 9 o'clock. People are off to school. But yeah, that's essentially the Walk for Justice covers almost 30% of our annual funding. So without it, we can't operate.
That's fantastic. And only lawyers can participate?
No, anyone. Anyone can
there
participate.
You are.
That's right. Yeah, so www.walkforjustice.com.au, and you can see all the various teams that get involved. And essentially it's, you know, you ask for people to fundraise for you for walking along. But yeah, it's something to sort of come out, put on some purple and get involved. There's a band. It's all a bit of fun.
Now, why the purple?
That's the JusticeNet colour. It always has been. And it's, you know, it would be controversial now to try and move it away from purple, I think. But it generally, it's a really lovely morning and it's nice to sort of, you know, our work can be very heavy and our environment can be really complex.
And of course, this is something community centres can get involved with, because we want that message about JusticeNet SA to get out there, and also for governments to listen about the importance of also helping provide funding as well and support for these services. So have a look at their site and do that. Now, I noticed, Rebecca, that you've got some fantastic statistics here about your service. So 1,172 legal matters, 400 clinic appointments, 211 clinic sessions, and $1.2 million worth of free legal work.
Yeah, that's right. And amazingly, that $1.2 million is only in closed files in a year. So some matters might go on for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You know, we just had a matter the other day that finished that actually somebody was provided with $250,000 worth of free assistance, which was pretty incredible.
Wow. So are there some stories that come to mind, Rebecca, that you can share about real life stories about what's happening? Obviously, can't use the names, but yeah. Are there some things that come to mind?
Yeah, I think we get quite a lot of matters in regards to things that really get quite complex quite quickly. So, for example, a situation in which you might have a pensioner who was targeted by a scam caller, has since been involved in a quite complex contract. That gets really complex really quickly. Or, you know, single mother who had some developments done to the house to aid a child with a disability, but then the builder's bill came in much higher than expected and can't pay it.
That's a pretty complex one, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Or, you know, situations where discrimination matters that might be needing a legal assistance dog but weren't allowed on, you know, a plane, a house or whatever it is, a mode of transport. And so how do we deal with that? But it really is as varied as it could possibly be.
And have you seen, because of the current rental crisis in South Australia, we're the worst, unfortunately, been more evictions and homelessness issues?
Yeah, huge numbers of evictions. So particularly our SACAT clinic and the lawyers that work in that clinic have been doing some incredible work to prevent some evictions and to work with, you know, SACAT and the authorities and SAHA to try and get better results. But, you know, people that have been living in essentially squalor because they're too nervous to raise maintenance issues for fear of getting kicked out, or the second that they do raise maintenance issues or, you know, cockroach infestations or rat infestations, then all of a sudden they're asked to leave or told that their tenancy won't be extended. And so those matters are really tricky. You know, we've had some really great developments in regards to the Residential Tenancies Act amendments that will be coming in shortly. But at the moment, sort of those no-cause evictions and that sort of space is a really, really tricky area. So helping people to be able to navigate SACAT, of course, ordinarily SACAT is supposed to be a jurisdiction where you can represent yourself, and particularly in residential matters. So we sort of sit in the background and try and give information as we can or help draft submissions, which might make it easier for someone to be empowered in that conversation before SACAT or before their landlord.
And Rebecca, are the cases that you're involved with available for view once they're closed? The reason that I bring that up is because community centres could then get some idea of who's being helped, how they're being helped, a little bit greater understanding of the law.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend going to our website. So you can see a broad range of case studies there, and they sort of fall under the various areas that I've just mentioned, and you can sort of get a flavour for what can happen. By the time matters are eligible for us, they are often quite unique in one way or another, so they're not necessarily straightforward. So I would definitely urge community centres not to feel bad if they can't see a similar representation, to reach out to us and we can try and work through it. But those sorts of matters, we definitely, once we see a pattern, we hope that we can sort of have the same level of justice for everyone else in that situation.
Because it also gives an opportunity to help advocate as well, which is what Community Centres SA role is on behalf of our members. If we can see patterns, we can raise that with government, relevant government departments.
Hugely so. I think that sort of stuff is important. And even if a community centre sees their own pattern and reaching out to us and saying, hey, we're seeing a pattern here, what do you think? We can help with things like combined actions, you know, class actions, those sorts of spaces. We can try and advocate for that.
That would be an excellent way for them to be able to funnel that information through. And how's the best way for them to do that, Rebecca?
Definitely reach out to us. All of the methods on the website do get through to us. So there's inquiry forms and all those sorts of things. But otherwise, our phone number is 8410-2280 or admin@justicenet.org.au. And all of our team are immensely talented and can find it, and it will find its way to any of us.
And this service has been available since 2008.
Yes.
You've been involved for quite a while.
2.5 years, almost 3 years now, yes.
And what changes have you seen over time in the need in the community?
Well, actually, Kerry, I have a pretty unique perspective on this because my first ever volunteering role as a law student was with JusticeNet as well.
That is fantastic.
Which might be showing my age there, but essentially I would say that the biggest difference has been that the legal literacy required of general life in community or in society now is so much higher than it used to be. People are expected to read leases or rules or things that are just so...
Fill in forms.
That's right, that are so complex and much more complex than they used to be. So we're seeing people, you know, potentially sign things they don't fully understand or get themselves into a situation where it just snowballs so very quickly. You know, we've got other matters where someone might be in a situation that is a really complex sort of IP or copyright area of law, and you think, wow, this got really serious really quickly, because the legal literacy required even to do any sort of small business is really very high.
And when we consider ESL, it's such a high demand, let alone legal literacy. So if you're not able to read and understand the basic language that's being spoken and written in, that makes it very challenging.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of our absolute passions at JusticeNet, the legal literacy and plain English, and trying to find ways to just not require everyone to be born with a lawyer, as we sort of say, to try and make sure that people can navigate their own disputes and that sort of dispute counselling, how you can empower someone to feel like they don't need to ask someone for help, that there could be a way that they can help themselves through it, which just gives such a stronger sense of resolution.
And for the people that you're seeing, Rebecca, and the other lawyers that you work with, what do you need as wraparound services? What's the higher demand one so community centres can be aware of how they can help?
Yeah, an advocate, a non-legal advocate, is hugely helpful. So someone who can help with, you know, travel to and from appointments. You know, we had someone recently who couldn't afford the travel in and out of the city to try and get to the appointment with the lawyer. You know, those sorts of things, timings of various appointments or coordinations with, you know, they might need to go and get a psychologist's report for something or a psychiatric report for something, and being able to help someone tie in with all of those bits and bobs. Sometimes it can become quite complicated if a lawyer is also involved in that side of things, and it helps to them to be able to have that distance, to be able to say, great, can you go and speak to your advocate about trying to line that up?
And that is an important role, because for a lot of these people, particularly where English is a second language, it's difficult enough to understand what's being asked of you, let alone go and coordinate all of this information.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do, you know, we provide interpreters for all of our matters that require them and all those sorts of things. So one of our big services is obviously the service we also provide to the profession in regards to being able to access meaningful pro bono work and all of those sorts of things. So if they, you know, need support in an area of law they're not familiar with, we can partner them with someone who is familiar with that area. If they need an interpreter, we can do that. We do lots of trainings to try and build up those areas of practice that are not common if you're, you know, in a corporate law firm, but are really common if you're working at the community space.
Rebecca, I know that everyone talks about the increasing amount of mental health challenges in the community, but is that what your lawyers are seeing as well with the clients coming to them?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really distressing. It becomes a really distressing workload. And so that's a lot of the other support that we're giving our lawyers at the moment, is just to sort of understand that vicarious trauma and to work in a trauma-informed way. But whilst it might not be acute mental health problems, it really might be the fact that I worked in the sort of community legal space for a long time. And I think, you know, you talk about having your heart beat in your ears, you know, you just can't hear the legal advice because you're so distressed. And so just trying to understand those de-escalation motives and those sorts of things that we can try and get to, so that someone has a baseline that makes it easier for them to receive the information that they need to and to deal with the matter, and to provide instructions that are helpful.
That heart beating in the chest when people are nervous, anxious, it does make it very hard to receive information.
Mm.
Well, Rebecca, this has just been amazing hearing about the service. We really want people to support it. So let's just give another shout out for your amazing Walking for Justice.
Thank you. Thanks, Kerry. Yes, absolutely. We'd love everyone to get behind it. If you can't walk on the day, we'd love for you to donate to a team. So it's on the 21st of May. It starts at 7 o'clock. The Attorney General normally speaks at 7:30, and then we kick off for a very leisurely stroll. It is not strenuous. And then we all had that moment at the zoo, which is a really lovely morning. So get a team involved. If you want to get a team involved, you know, jump on board and sponsor someone. We are still looking for sponsors. So if anyone's interested, please reach out to us. It's a great event to get involved in.
Well, Rebecca Plummer, thank you so much for your time today to share with our community centre and other listeners. This is a really important service, so please make sure if you have someone who can't afford legal representation and is in need and disadvantaged position to call JusticeNet SA. Thanks for listening. These podcasts bring you stories from across the state of South Australia, all of the great work being done in our communities, and general topics of community interest. Feel free to share these podcasts with your networks and send us any feedback to info@communitycentressa.asn.au.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.